Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we discover summer camp options for military children, and we talk about veterans in the arts. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota Military Radio Hour has been coming to you Sunday mornings from the Twin Cities News Talk for the last 16 months. This month, we are thrilled to report that we've added our first syndicated station. Welcome to listeners of WYRQ, Q92 in Little Falls. The opportunity to have this program and now the additional opportunity for syndication is due directly to two people. I'd like to call out Twin Cities News Talk Program Director Andrew Lee and Clear Channel General Manager Mike Crusham. It's because of their generosity that Minnesota Military Radio comes across your radio dial. This program is making a difference and gaining attention. We recently were notified that Minnesota Military Radio took first place in the Radio Information Program category for the 2012 National Guard Bureau Media Contest. Minnesota Military Radio is about telling our military stories, the stories of those currently serving, those who've served, and the families and communities who have supported them. We look forward to 16 more months of good news on the air.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The snow has melted, and children's thoughts are turning to summer and camp. What camps are out there for military children? We're going to find out with Captain Marion Belinsky, State Family Programs Director from Minnesota National Guard, and Kirsten Fisher, State Youth Coordinator. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Tom.
Captain, can you tell me how long have you been in the service? Tell me a little bit about your military career.
I will have been in the service for 9 years. On the 23rd of April, I was prior enlisted, and then I went to ROTC and became an officer, and then they deployed me to Kosovo, where I did a NATO peacekeeping mission for 1 year.
My goodness, 9 years, you've been busy.
Keeps you busy.
And Captain, what does the State Family Programs Director do for camps for kids?
We offer a variety of camps for kids. All of them can be found on beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And there's some main ones that we're going to highlight today. We're not going to have an opportunity to highlight all of them. But the first one that I would like to highlight is the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp. And this is sponsored by the Minnesota National Guard. And all of the counselors that are at the camp are military connected. There's two camps that are going to be taking place. One is for the 10 to 12 year olds, and that's going to be from July 22nd to July 28th. And then the second camp, which is for the older ones, which is 13 to 14 year olds, is from July 29th to August 4th. And these are 7-day camps. They start on a Sunday and they end on a Saturday. And there is $150 if you register before April 30th or $175 if you register after April 30th. So there is an early bird special.
Who's eligible to go to this camp?
The people who are eligible are only the National Guard youth. So that includes the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard.
Okay. And how do they apply for this again?
They go to www.beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And then they go to Family and Wellness.
Okay, and also with us today is Kirsten Fisher, the State Youth Coordinator.
Hello.
Hi, Kirsten. Can you tell me, what does a State Youth Coordinator do?
We do anything that is connected to the military youth, and that includes all branches. So one of the things that we do, of course, is the camps. And another would be working with educators in the school system, really educating them as far as what the youth are going through.
And how long have you been in this position?
Almost 2 years.
Okay, so have you attended this camp up at Camp Ripley?
I have been to Camp Ripley, and it is a good time. They have so many activities, including archery and the rock climbing wall, and they do swimming and campfires. And but the most unique experience about that is the camaraderie that they have, because the staff is military connected as well. And they get to a place where others really understand what they're going through, because in Minnesota, everyone's so interdispersed within the communities that children will go to a school and realize they're their only ones. And when they get to camp, they're like, wow, there's so many people that are like me and I can do this. And then they have some ropes course and they believe in themselves and they have that resilience, like I can do this and I've got other people who believe in me, and it really builds them up. So camp is really important.
And because they're all military kids, they've probably all experienced having one of their parents deployed for some time.
Yes, absolutely.
So I suppose they talk about that among themselves. A little different than going to public school where most of the kids, their parents are home, isn't it?
Exactly.
And Captain, Camp Ripley, I've been up there a number of times. What a beautiful state asset, and what a great training ground. That's got to be exciting for you to have military kids. How many military kids go to this camp at the National Guard Youth and Teen Camp?
It's up to 100 each section for each week, so about 100 for the 10 to 12 and 100 for the 13 to 14-year-olds. And they're from throughout the state of Minnesota, so we are able to bring them from all over and onto Camp Ripley, and they get to have the full military experience at Camp Ripley by going downrange to see some of the training areas, like our obstacle course and our rappelling walls. And also just working with the staff who are, many of them are either currently serving or have served in the past.
We're speaking to Captain Marion Blinsky and Kirsten Fisher on Minnesota Military Radio about camps for military children this summer in Minnesota. And we've been talking about the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp at Camp Ripley. And what a tremendous facility. When you bring the children up there, where do you house them?
They actually get to stay in the barracks, and then they get to ride the Bluebird buses that we ride to our training events, what we call downrange, which is just past range control, where we would have our training areas. And they will be occupying a few of the training areas, and I think they'll be also doing some land navigation. So they'll get to have a really enjoyable camp experience.
Kirsten, you were smiling when she mentioned barracks. Do the kids enjoy that?
Oh, yes. And they break into teams, too. So they have the Black Hawk team and the Hercules team, and they all wear the same color shirts, and they have that camaraderie. So being in the barracks is just fine.
So they're already signing up to join the Guard later on.
It could be.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more, and we have to take a little break. But how many, Captain, camps are there around the state in the summertime for military children?
There's a lot that are listed on our website, but there's three main camps that we're going to focus on, which are very specifically related to military children. And some of the others do like a military week, or they do like a military appreciation day. But some of them we can't endorse because of like religious affiliation.
Sure. Now, this camp at the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp, you said it was $150 or $100. If we've got some children of our Minnesota military that can't afford that, are there any options for them?
For that camp specifically, there are scholarships available.
And how do they apply for those?
They would need to apply on the website for the camp. So, and that website specifically is www.beyondtheyellowribbon.org. With the family and wellness link.
Okay, so all the information on that specific camp and what it costs and how to apply for a scholarship is at our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about several of the other camp options for children this summer. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're talking about military camps for kids for this summer with Captain Marion Blinsky, State Family Programs Director, and Kirsten Fisher, State Youth Coordinator. Ladies, how important is it to have camps available that are affordable, that our military children can go to and be with other military children that may have experienced a loved one, a parent gone for on deployment for some time. Captain?
These camps are actually very important, specifically for Minnesota, because Minnesota is so geographically dispersed, and even our armories are throughout the state of Minnesota. So many times students will be in school and they will be the only ones in their classrooms with a parent who's deployed or a parent who's currently serving. And one thing that people don't always realize is that throughout the state, we have all branches of the military represented. So we also have like the Marines who they are here for 3 years, and then their family moves on to their next duty station. So there's a constant turnover of children that are coming in and out of the state from other branches besides the National Guard, who also are eligible for a lot of these camps. And it helps them to connect to see that they're not the only ones here as well, and they can connect with some of the National Guard youth as well. So having these camps is so very important to bring all those children to one location so they can meet one another and network with one another and not feel so isolated from being so dispersed. And another reason I brought up the Marines specifically is many times they come from a base and this will be their first experience in public school, which can add its own level of stress. But then during the summertime, having those summer camps to reconnect with children, to build some of those networks that they can have the support while they're also going to school and struggling with some of the new experiences of being in public school. So
just as the 1st Brigade Combat Team that will be coming home the next few months came from 530 cities around Minnesota and every county, their children are sometimes spread out in schools and perhaps not with other children of deployed military service people and no one to make common cause with, no one that understands that one of my parents has been gone for a year and the hardships that presents to a child.
Yep, and many times it also fosters an environment that's safe for them to express their emotions in. So if they're, you know, angry for having had the changes that occur in a household when one of the loved one is deployed or when one of their loved ones is deployed, sometimes there's feelings of isolation, sometimes feelings of just abandonment, and how those are perfectly normal to feel. And how other youth can help you, first off, recognize that those are the feelings that you're feeling, and then to give you an outlet to express those feelings in a positive way.
And Kirsten, we were talking in the first segment about the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp at Camp Ripley. Mm-hmm. And have you talked to the kids after they were up there for a week? How do they feel about the experience?
They all sign up to go next year.
That's a pretty good sign they're having fun.
They can't wait to come back, and they want to sign up to be junior counselors and counselors because there's not much turnover, you know, as far as the people who really want to be there. And if they're not able to, it's because of something that really came up. So the staff really want to be there. The kids want to be there. And every year they want to jump in. So got to make sure that you register early.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, and we're speaking to Captain Marion Belinsky, the State Family Programs Director, and Kirsten Fisher, State Youth Coordinator, about camps for military children this summer. Captain, you've got several other camps that you wanted to talk about besides the big one up at Camp Ripley, one of my favorite places. I think you wanted to talk about, what's the next one?
It will be Operation Military Kid Camp Voyager. And this year, it's really unique because they're partnering with the Boys and Girls Club to support the youth. And it is going to be open to all military youth throughout the state of Minnesota. And it's open from ages 8 to 14 and also ages 12 to 16. And this camp is a Sunday through Thursday camp. And it is only $15 per child. However, if that is a financial burden for a family, they can also request to have that waived.
That's for youth age 8 to 14th and is out in Mound.
Yes, it is.
So one little closer to home. Mm-hmm. Kirsten, what's the next one? We're getting short of time now. The Minnesota Elks Youth Camp?
Yes, actually, Captain Belinsky has that information.
All right.
Okay. The Minnesota Elks Camp is at Nisswa, Minnesota, and it is located on Pequot Lake. And it also has Marquee Lake, Stevens Lake, and Woodtick Lake by it. And they do their camp from July 15th through July 21st, so a Sunday through a Saturday, a full 7 days. And there is no cost to the military youth who attend this camp. And they have a lot of outdoor activities for the youth, to include a rock climbing wall with lots of sporting events such as soccer, softball, tennis, archery, boating, campfires. They even have singing, carnival games, cookouts, field games, fishing, kayaking, and music. So they offer quite a variety of activities. But the Elks believe that it is a social responsibility to give back to the Minnesota communities and focus on the youth, and specifically the military youth, from July 15th to July 21st.
I suppose I'm too old to get into that one.
Yes, unfortunately, we both are.
That's terrible. And Kirsten, we did have one more camp, the Purple Camp. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Operation Purple Camp is part of the National Military Family Association, and their camp will be somewhere in the state. They have finalized their decision in April, so that will be coming, and the place will be coming. But we wanted to let people know about it because it's for all branches, and the programming is exceptional, and they can find it on the same link as the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon when they get that information, and you need to be one of the first ones because there's very few spots.
So they can sign up for that even now, even though they aren't sure when?
Well, it would be as of April 1st. It should be up on all the websites. And they not only can sign up in Minnesota, but you can sign up in any state. If Minnesota happens to be full, then you can go to another state.
So beyondtheyellowribbon.org. What's the button?
The button is Family and Wellness.
Family and Wellness. Okay. We're running real short of time now, but if any of our listeners want to help sponsor a military kid at some of these camps, what do they do?
They can go to our website and look at all the different camps and decide which one best suits where they would like to sponsor. Then they would make the sponsorship directly to that camp, who then would ensure that it goes to a youth that would be show a financial need.
Kirsten, any final thoughts about summer camps for military kids?
Sign up early.
Mm-hmm. Sign up early. And Captain?
Just a note on what Kirsten was saying, the camps that are up have already have people registering, so it is very important to sign up early.
And one last time, where do they go?
BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org and click on Family and Wellness.
Ladies, thanks for joining us today to talk about summer camps for military children. That was Captain Marion Belinsky, State Family Programs Director, and Kirsten Fisher, State Youth Coordinator. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss an opportunity for military families separated by deployment to reconnect. Each year, thousands of Minnesota service members return home from deployment. While the reunion is an exciting time and a great celebration, most families know this is also when the real work begins. Military spouse Mary Johnson knows this to be true. Her husband had just returned from a deployment in Afghanistan. Despite the Johnsons having a strong relationship leading up to the deployment, they quickly realized that they needed to reconnect after nearly a year apart. Looking for an opportunity for her and her husband, Mary heard about Operation Welcome Home in Stuartville, Minnesota. She was shocked to hear that this faith-based weekend retreat would be provided at no cost. They worked out a weekend sitter for their kids and headed to the Miracle Lodge at Ironwood Springs Christian Ranch. Over the weekend, the two participated in sessions on parenting, communication, healthy conflict resolution, and finances. After sessions, they spent quality time horseback riding and tackling the team challenge course. Wrapping up their weekend of encouragement, hope, and inspiration, the two enjoyed a candlelit dinner on their final night. In addition to couples retreats, Operation Welcome Home offers weekend retreats for spouses with deployed service members and a Wounded Warriors weekend. Thank you to Operation Welcome Home for helping Minnesota families overcome the hurdles of deployment. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Find all Operation Welcome Home weekend retreats by clicking Events and Deals at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about the Veterans in the Arts program. Please stay with us.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualify to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualify to be in the U.S. military. One out of six veterans were on the front line. That means five out of six veterans worked in supply and support positions. The United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world. Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to all your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Vets First campaign. Thank you, veterans, and thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Coming up next, we're going to talk about veterans in the arts. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I recently learned of an organization in the Twin Cities that offers a unique opportunity for veterans. The organization is called Veterans in the Arts. Veterans in the Arts offers introductory art classes, advanced art classes, and music classes to veterans throughout the year. Sessions range from 8 to 12 week courses. The mission statement of Veterans in the Arts is to facilitate the ability of veterans to express themselves in a variety of art forms through a progressive program of supportive instruction and collaboration. The organization started with a group of individuals that found there was something powerful and healing about sharing the studio experience with other veterans. They decided they needed to explore a permanent arts program for veterans in the Twin Cities. After that, several art centers partnered with Veterans in the Arts, and in March of 2011, they offered their first class. They give veterans the tools to have a good time. There are no critiques, no tests, and free tuition. To learn more about Veterans in the Arts, visit veteransinthearts.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Our question for the second half of the show is, can we create a veterans art community? And the lady that's going to answer that question for us is Suzanne Asher, Executive Director from Veterans in the Arts. Suzanne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, and I really want to thank the commissioner for the kind words that he said also. Can we create community of the arts here? Why Minnesota? Minnesotans really like the arts, and we have for many generations put very serious money and expertise into promoting the arts. The arts is a big, viable community with very interesting, diverse people. And one of the things that I noticed as I was participating in several aspects of the arts community was that we had very few veterans participating. And I raised the question to myself as a veteran, why aren't there not more veterans? Because as I asked the directors of these different institutions, would you like veterans? Oh, we'd love to have veterans, but we can't attract them. And that became the genesis of saying we've got to try to do something to make vets welcome in these centers in Minnesota.
Now, Suzanne, let's back up for just a second. You said you are a veteran. Can you tell me about your military career?
I went in through a ROTC program after grad school, and I served for 1 year in Strategic Air Command in the Air Force as a base civil engineer. And then I was transferred to research and development at the Ground-Based Systems Lab in upstate New York, Rome Air Development Center, where I had the privilege, really, of working to develop the first digital cartographic database that served our tactical weapon systems.
So you have good experience as a veteran.
I had interesting experiences in the service, really intellectually very interesting, but there was a fair amount of sexual harassment.
Uh-oh, that's not good. And that's a whole other show that's coming
that's another
up
show.
In a week or two. We're going to talk about some of those issues. And when and how did you get involved in the arts?
My graduate degree was in landscape architecture, and it was my effort to take that artistic side of myself and apply it in a practical, technical way. And as I left the service and got into the comfortable role of raising boys. The arts sort of stayed with me as I tried to translate them into the next generation. And then I picked up more for myself as the boys got older and started being more involved directly.
And what really prompted you to try to get veterans involved in the arts here in Minnesota?
We had a traveling group of Iraq vets come to the Twin Cities from Vermont to lead a workshop at the Minnesota Center for Book Arts in making paper from one's old uniform. And then with that paper, we made art with the paper. We bound some of them as journals to record our experiences. Others, we made broadsides, if you will, posters of with the paper. And in the process of doing that, I watched the young vets that were part of this, and I realized how disturbed some of them were and how therapeutically calming it was for them to be in the venue of an art studio. It was a place with a lot of freedom, and yet there was a real focus and teamwork going on that was really beneficial to these young people. And it was like, we need to do something to make this permanent in Minnesota.
We're speaking, this is the Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking with Suzanne Asher, Executive Director of Veterans in the Arts. Suzanne, you've got me visualizing veterans destroying their old uniforms and turning it into some kind of art. Is that where you're going with this?
Well, paper has traditionally been made out of fabric in the West. And so in the old days, we used to collect our old clothing and save them for the rag collector who would bring them to the paper mill. And it's only recently, and you know, since around World War II, that we really started making our paper out of trees. But the idea of taking the uniform has its challenges because uniforms are now made out of polyester, which is traditionally not used for paper making. It was cotton and linens that were used. So we have to do a little bit more beading to turn that fiber into a pulp that we can then transform into paper.
Is but that the therapeutic part?
Yeah, it's very, when you cut up a uniform that you've worn with such pride and such experiences as you've had in it, there were tears, there were stories, there's a whole, the uniform comes to life in a way that it hadn't, because for instance, mine had been sitting in the attic for 20 years, and I was gathering dust. And by taking a shirt apart, it was really an emotional experience about what it means to wear the uniform, and then to, what does it mean to continue with a memory of what you did.
I've got some old uniforms, been laying around for 40 years. I might have to come down and see you. What are you trying to offer? What's the mission of Veterans in the Arts? What are you trying to accomplish with it?
It's an individual mission. We're looking to the individual spirit of the veteran, where he or she is in their journey towards understanding what the meaning of their service was and what their experiences were. It takes a certain kind of vocabulary to be able to express yourself to yourself as well as to others. And we feel that without the arts, people are very limited in what they can say to one another. But through the arts, through music, through dialogue, poetry, through the visual arts, through making clay, you have through photography, you have a way to start creating a story about yourself that can transcend the limitations of your words and mean something to you as well as to the person you're trying to talk to. And it's that we're trying to enable that gift for our veterans to be, to have that as part of their tool chest.
Wow, that sounds really strong. I was thinking Veterans in the Arts, and I wasn't quite in that deep, but it sounds like it can be a really healthy thing.
There's a lot of research that talks about the relationship between trauma and becoming healthy through the arts. We're not the only ones trying to do this. I have received calls from a dozen different groups in the United States who are trying to set up their own versions of what we're doing. There's a long record of people coming back from war and writing their story and trying to get it published, of taking photographs and trying to share those photographs. You have to reorder what you've experienced into something that you can handle, and you've got to find ways to communicate that if you're going to feel that you've reintegrated back into the civilian world.
Suzanne, we have to take a short break. When we come back, you're going to tell me a story or two about some veterans that have benefited from Veterans in the Arts. We're speaking with Suzanne Asher, Executive Director of Veterans in the Arts on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm talking with Suzanne Asher, Executive Director of Veterans in the Arts, about creating a veterans art community in Minnesota. Suzanne, we've talked a little bit about the mission and what you're doing. Who's eligible to join? What kind of classes are there, and how are you funded?
Any veteran in the state of Minnesota is welcome to join us if they can get to our classes. They are also welcome to, in our introductory level classes, to bring their significant others and or buddies if they feel that would help them get into the class themselves and that they would be interested. The cost of the classes is free tuition. We are funded through legacy monies from the legacy amendment that was passed by Minnesota voters. And we charge a small fee for materials. For those who are in need, they can ask that be waived, and we waive that charge also.
So the classes are free to our military and veterans?
Yes.
And where do you hold the classes?
The classes, the introductory classes start their meetings at the St. Paul Veterans Resource Center in New Brighton. And then they travel as a series of workshops. They travel over at the course of 8 weeks to four different partners where they get a hand at experiencing those particular art studios and doing a project in them. And if they are interested in what they see out of that introductory experience, then we offer what we call advanced classes that allow someone to focus at the printmaking center or at the photography center, book art center. They are allowed to focus for a 12-week course and really learn something about that art form.
And you have a website?
And we have a website. It's veteransinthearts.org. We have a Facebook page, Veterans in the Arts.
And how long have you been doing this?
Our first classes started in March last year, but we started this organizing for this program in 2009.
Suzanne, I know that you've got a couple of stories of some veterans that have benefited from the program. Would you like to share one of them with us now?
Yes. Our first joyous story was a young woman who came to us and took our introductory class. A little bit skeptic about her older male companions in the class. We had a lot of Vietnam vets, and she had had some rough experiences in her service career, and she was skeptical, but she had liked art, and she came to us, and she went through week by week, and by the end of the program, understood that she had a different feeling about who she was, and her confidence level had raised itself quite high. And with that renewed enthusiasm to give her hand, to try her hand at things, she decided to go back to school and start getting her life back together.
And I hope she wasn't afraid of the old Vietnam vets after that.
It was more that they were men.
We're talking with Suzanne Asher, Executive Director of Veterans in the Arts on Minnesota Military Radio. Suzanne, you started telling me a story about a homeless person that benefited from this program as well.
Yes, we're delighted to welcome a group of homeless vets through MECV, and we did a class for them. And one of the vets, when he went to the clay program, was really taken by the clay. And he came back to do the full 12-week clay class and really focused on what he was doing and got he had to take the bus and find different ways to get there. It was not easy for him, but the clay experience was so powerful, both in what he was asking himself to do as well as the people that were in the room with him to share the experience, that he decided that this was going to be the focus of him getting his life back together. And he's gone on, he's now in his third clay class. And that gives him the focus week by week to realize there's a life outside of the despair that he had been suffering under. And he's very enthusiastic now and speaks well for the program.
What a great story. Yeah. Suzanne, I know you're probably aware the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the Minnesota National Guard is returning soon.
Yes.
2,700 soldiers.
And we have been in contact with the appropriate people, and our information's been sent out to them and sent to their families, and we are hoping very much that some of them come back wanting to enroll and join this community.
And they could come join your classes with their spouses.
Yes, yes.
I think that would be a way for them to get back together and learn how to live together after being separated for so long.
I hope so. It's an experiment, but I think it's a good one.
It'd be fun to sign some of those up and see how it goes. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Tell me again who's eligible for this program. Where can they find more information?
We are open to all veterans in the state of Minnesota. We are open to the spouses of veterans for our introductory classes. Look us up online, veteransinthearts.org, and or call us. I answer the phone quite often, and the number is 651-270-9489. The website has it also.
Now you're funded by the Legacy Funds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have volunteers that help you? Do you need volunteers? Do you just need participants in the program? What do you need?
We need participants, people who are eager to share themselves with us to do art. And if once we get a critical mass, then we'll be able to do our next big hope, which is to sponsor our first Veterans Art Exhibit.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, we're excited about that prospect.
Now, how many veterans can you take in the next class?
Classes can hold 10, and we have not yet been able to fill a class.
And how often do you start the classes?
We're starting one every month for the time being.
Every month. All right. So there'll be plenty of time for our returning soldiers to sign up and go get involved in the clay or whatever.
Check us out online or follow us on Facebook.
All right. And one last time, where can we find more information on your program?
On our website, veteransinthearts.org.
Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Whether or not you come to our program, I would really encourage all of you to look towards some form of the arts to nourish the part of you that sometimes you might underestimate needs to be nourished. Thank you.
Suzanne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Suzanne Asher, Executive Director of Veterans in the Arts. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Captain Marion Belinsky and Kristen Fisher, on Military Camps for Children, and Suzanne Asher on Veterans in the Arts, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk with Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame aviator Betty Wall about her service in World War II, and we explore recent changes in how women are serving our state and our nation. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on this station, and online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.